Spellbound is a femtastical, actual play, D&D podcast. It follows the adventures of Princess Thea, the human sorceress, played by Lydia Miller.
What do I do if I lose you?
Delalia, the elven ranger, played by Kelsey Botwinick-Caruza.
What kind of a perfect place would it be without puppies?
Felix, the gnome fighter, played by Rebecca Munoz.
That's a good winter festival.
And me, your dungeon master, Emma Carter. Welcome, listeners. Although we look like we might be a child-friendly podcast, Spellbound contains adult language and themes. See the content warning in the episode notes. Today's episode is a very special one. This bonus episode was made possible by our patrons on Patreon. Thank you to all of our patrons and especially our top-tier donors, The Dude, The Parkers, Laura Carter, Julie Vaughn, Ryan Botwinick-Caruza, and Sean-Pierre Ringgold. The following episode contains three stories of wintertime holiday celebrations, with each story focusing on one of our player characters. We also have a very special song for you, which was written and performed by myself and composed by our friend of the podcast, the amazing Krista Poyman. I would recommend grabbing some tissues or Kleenex before you listen because we get pretty emotional. We hope you enjoy. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Presidency. And Happy New Day. I will see you in the story. Let's start with Delalia. All right, Kelsey.
Okay.
We find ourselves back in the forest of Mayrill, specifically in the elven city of Afonidhoid. Delalia, it is the Life Day Festival, a holiday in your culture dedicated to celebrating the sanctity of life and, for some, the conception of new life. This particular memory takes us 23 years into the past from our current campaign. Delalia, how do you and your family celebrate this day? Are there any decorations, any traditions?
So we don't do a lot of extraneous decorating. We want to make sure that it's still respect. Something too much visual stuff and excess distracts from the meaning of it. So it's less about like other cultures will have gifts and things like that, but we're more about appreciating the gifts that are each other.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. So Delalia, you are with your family. Let's say that you're close to the tree of life. Yeah, that's what it was called, the tree of life. So, Delalia, tell us about the tree of life and how does that factor into a life day?
For the tree of life, it's there all year round and it's covered in beads and pieces of glass and little gifts that people give it. And every year on Life Day, we write our wish on a little piece of paper and deliver it to the tree with a gift for the tree. And then the wish goes away and it always comes true.
Aww. So Delalia, you see that your mother and father are offering their gifts to the tree currently. You are surrounded by many other elven citizens of Afonidhoid. You see a baron. You see Baron and Asher and Priya are all standing together near the Tree of Life, and they look particularly excited. Delalia, you also see somebody else. And I'm going to ask you real quick, that picture you put in the chat, do you really want that person to show up in the campaign?
Oh my god, yes, please.
Okay, I'll throw out what I wrote.
Yeah.
Delania. I should probably get his picture in front of my face. Yeah, there he is.
Don't even bother. Just imagine what wishes and like the smell of horsey man are like. Like, that's what he is.
Is he a centaur?
Oh. Okay.
Yes. I don't know.
No, I'm down. I mean, is that a thing?
Centaurs come to a Vonidhoid often?
Sure.
Cool.
Or maybe they don't come often, but it makes sense that we would be down for them.
Well, here, let me read you this, and then you tell me who you see.
Okay.
Delalia, you look up, and you see a person looking at you. They appear to be about your age, and you recognize them as someone you've grown up with. They are slightly taller than you, with suntan skin and wavy golden hair pulled back into a ponytail, a half ponytail, with a quite a sizable, attractive, well-groomed beard on their face. Tell us about this person, Delalia. How do you know them?
This is my cousin's friend, Jerichel. And he is not always here. He actually lives in a different, like, town. But we get together since Baron and I are age mates with him, who's also an age mate with us, and, like, do youth activities together, like summer campy sort of things. And he has always been resolutely respectful. And it's so bizarre because nobody else is. Like, everybody else my age thinks of me as an annoying, like, a Wahealite, like, an outcast. And Jerichel just is, like, part of it. Like, we're doing a craft, we're hunting, he includes me in it, and it's looks at my skills and sees them, and, like, he makes me feel seen and appreciated without, like, laying it on too thick or anything.
And he is looking at you right now, and you see he approaches you, and he is holding something in his hand. It looks like a small parcel. He stops in front of you, and he says, hello, Delalia. Happy life day to you.
Happy life day, Jerichel.
What are you giving the tree this year?
Well, I made the tree a surprise. I don't know if I should show you, but I do. And I hand him a little bag that I made out of deer skin. And it's just, like, very little. And inside there are three geodes, tiny, tiny geodes that are broken. So inside you can see the amethyst.
Whoa, this is great. I'm sure that the tree will appreciate this gift.
I hope so. I have a very big wish to make this year.
Oh, really? What?
Okay. You can't tell anyone, but I think it doesn't break the rules because you're not actually from here. So...
That's true.
And you can laugh if you want to, but I'm wishing to bring peace to the humans.
He doesn't laugh, but he quirks an eyebrow, and then he actually smiles a little bit, and he says, why does that not surprise me?
And my face burns a little bit, but I don't, besides, like, rosy cheeks, don't look, you can't tell. Like, I'm really good at, like, keeping it poker-faced.
I'm going to roll perception for Jerichel to see if he notices that you're blushing. He rolled a 15, I'm going to say probably like plus 3. So he smiles a little bit more because he can tell that you're blushing, but he doesn't want to call attention to it. So he says, that's a much better wish than, I mean, maybe not better. I mean, that's just, yeah. Well, so
what's your wish going to be, Jerichel? Now I'm curious. You have to tell me because I told you.
Oh, and he laughs and he puts a hand behind his head and kind of rubs his head and looks to the side bashfully, and then he looks back at you and he says, here, and he offers you the parcel that he's holding.
Ooh.
in it. You can tell that it's a little simple wooden box. It's not wrapped in leaves because he knows that you would think that's pretentious. It's just a simple but elegant wooden box. And he says, so this is it's for you. Happy life day, Delalia.
Delalia's a little bit taken aback because we don't give gifts on life day, but like gifts are very special. And so she opens it and sees what's inside.
And Delalia, inside the box, you find a piece of jewelry. Nothing extravagant, but finely crafted. What sort of jewelry is it, and what does it look like?
It's an ear cuff. Like for the top of my ear that I always wear in all of the drawings. So I wear it to this day.
And he says, I know it's not much or anything, but, you know, I just...
Jericho, it's beautiful. And I throw my arms around his neck.
And he blushes really big, but you can't see it because you can't see his face.
Mm.
And he hugs you back gently and then says, yeah, you know, I was making... anyway, cool. So you want to go make our wishes?
Yeah. Hey, Jerichel, I'm really excited to have something to wear that will remind me of someone like you. And then mm-hmm. I sort of scurry off to the tree.
And he smiles and like scratches his nose, kind of like just pleased, but not trying to hide how pleased he is. And he follows behind you. And over at the tree, you see Baron and Priya are embracing one another, and Baron sees you approaching and he says, Delalia, you must come here. We have the most exciting news.
What is it?
And Asher steps forward and Asher says, on this day, the three of us have decided to make our companionship official.
Congratulations! Baron.
Thank you so much. And Priya like just bounces over to you, Delalia, and hugs you, and she says, hi, I'm so excited. Happy life day, Delalia.
Happy life day, Priya. Baron, you're so lucky that they are going to put up with you for the rest of their lives.
Yes.
And I punch
him. Yes, he is.
I love Asher so much.
Oh, Delalia, you know that I don't like it when you do that. You muscled my shirt.
You know, you still look great.
I know. And they all giggle. Jerichel?
It's a CH, so Jerichel.
Jerichel is kind of standing off to the side. Jerichel's kind of standing off to the side looking at the four of you, and he just smiles and kind of waves and says, hey, congratulations, you guys. That's fantastic. And they all kind of go back to chattering with one another, and you approach the life tree with Jerichel, and you see him pull another item out of his pocket, and it is a little silver bird on a ribbon. Actually, it's two birds that are flying together in the sky, and he ties it to the tree of life, and he says, do you think that's good enough?
It's perfect. I know your wish is going to come true.
I hope so. And you guys stand there a moment. And how do you normally perform the wish? Do you close your eyes? Is there a ceremony or any kind of...
No, a lot of times it's sort of like in Harry Potter when they're putting the their name in the goblet. Like some people would prefer to do it privately and some people want to make a big show of it because you write it on a piece of paper and wish, you know, say it like to yourself and hold it to your chest and then you open it up and it goes away. So it's like...
And so as you are standing by the tree, you see these little pieces of paper have been left out, each with like a little feather quill next to it so that people can just come up and write their wish. And all around you, people are writing their wishes and holding it in their hands and then opening their palm, and there's nothing in there. And Jerichel takes his sheet of paper and he hands you a sheet of paper, and he kind of scribbles in his hand and tries to hide what he's writing from you.
What do you do?
I wait till he's done, and then I take the pen from him and write my wish.
And you both write your wish down, and he closes his eyes and holds out his hand with his palm facing up closed. And he takes a deep breath. And then he opens his hand, and there's no more paper in there anymore.
And I do the same thing. Jericho, I can't wait to see the doctor so that I can get my ear pierced.
And he says, wait, you don't have a pierced ear? Oh, dang it. Kildora. I'm sorry, Delaney. I thought you had your ear pierced.
No, that's so okay. I was waiting for something special.
You sure?
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. This is going to be a part of me now.
Cool. As you guys are standing there, I think Baron reaches over and he says, Delaney, come on, it's time to go to the bathhouse. Jericho, are you coming too? Yeah, if you don't mind me joining you guys, I'd love to.
Yes, I have a special tisane that Asher made, and I would love to share it. Come on, guys.
And you guys all head over to the bathhouse, and on this day of Life Day, there's not like, I mean, like, people can take baths with whoever they want, so it's basically just like a lot of group bathing, and it's Rebecca and Lydia groom into the music. Delathia, as you walk through a phonetoid, you see some elven dancers are dancing as another as elf plays a beautiful melody on a fantasy piano, and they're just grooving along as you walk by, smiling.
Yes, and they have little like spirit bells on their wrists and ankles, so it sounds like tinkling music every single time they move, and it's so beautiful.
And their names are Rebecca and Lydia. Yay. And that's canon.
Oh. They're in it. They're my neighbors.
And so you all head down to the bathhouse, and everyone's just naked, and they're in the bathhouse. So I think Baron and Asher and Priya have all saved a tub for the five of you. And Delathia, you find yourself on the way to the bath, and it's, you know, everyone's kind of chatting and laughing and talking. But you don't see Jericho yet. What do you do?
I get undressed and pick out some oils that I like and start heading to the bath.
And your friends call you over. Priya and Baron and Asher are all kind of doing like a massage circle, but it's hard because there's only three of them. And so Baron is like, Delalia, will you massage my shoulders?
Yes, as long as someone's massaging mine, and I pop in.
And from behind Delalia, you hear Jericho say, I can do that if that's something that you're comfortable with.
Absolutely.
You see that Jericho's wearing like a little kind of like a swimsuit bottom.
I wonder why. Why not just naked? Yeah. Come on, Jericho.
And Jericho gets in the tub with you guys, and you feel his strong, firm hands on your shoulder, Delalia. And I'm going to roll to see how well he does at massaging your shoulder.
Please be good. Please be good.
He doesn't. It's an 11. Let's say plus like 2, so it's a 13. How does it feel, Delalia?
Feels fine. I mean, okay? Since I have the oils and everything, that always makes massages 1,000 times better.
That's okay. That's not too hard, is it? I don't want to hurt you.
No, that's perfect.
Okay.
The thing about Life Day is that everything feels good.
Yeah. I don't do this a lot. But I'm happy. I'm happy to do this for you. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then he just continues to massage in silence. And Priya says, so what did everybody wish for?
Just, you know, peace and stuff.
And Baron rolls his eyes and he says, of course you'd wish for that.
And I look at Jericho and like share a special little like eye roll with him because he knows what I actually wished for.
Oh yeah, he gives a big old eye roll and like the big old wink to you like we're in the know. And Baron says, well, I wished for a beautiful cloak with stars and moons on it. And Asher kind of gives him a look and sighs and smiles. And Asher says, I wished to
achieve nirvana.
Wow.
Yeah. And Priya says, oh, wow, those are all really good wishes. I just wished for a puppy.
Ooh.
I don't even know if we have puppies. Oh, no, we do. We decided that in one of the last episodes. I just wished for a puppy.
What kind of a perfect place would it be without puppies?
And you guys laugh and you chat. And I think after a while, you guys exit the bath. You get your clothes back on and you're all kind of... is there anything else that you do on Life Day other than making wishes? Or is there any other activity that you think they might be on their way to do?
I think that a lot of people are like breaking out of the group to... I mean, people are doing some like light drugs and things like that and dancing and like dancing with a kind of abandon that you don't do unless you're a little high. You know what I mean? And most people are scantily clad. And it's not like loud, messy, folly, downy excess. It's just celebration. And people are welcome to, you know, couple with anybody or more than couple, you know, triple, quadruple. And a lot of people just sleep together and are held warm and tight for this one night. And it's really special. Even for Delalia, who's not much of a sexual person, she is happy to sleep with people on this day.
And I think that is exactly what Priya and Asher and Baron all run off to do. They are going to go take some tea and have an experience together and celebrate their newfound love. But before they go... Priya leans into you, Delalia, and she says, will Delalia be coupling with anyone tonight?
Maybe. I don't know.
And Baron kind of throws over his shoulder, that'll be the day.
I've coupled with someone.
Really?
More than one time.
Who?
None of your business. It was private.
Right. And Asher and Priya both give Baron, like, a whack. Simultaneously, they, like, whack him. Oh, why does everyone hit me all the time?
Because... Well, not everybody just has easy access to Asher and Priya all the time, Baron. Not everybody's as lucky as you. And I wink at them.
And they smile and wave, and they drag... Asher and Priya drag Baron off. And Jaquel is standing next to you, kind of just, like, twiddling his thumbs, and he says... do you have plans for the rest of the evening? Or, I mean, would you want to, like...
Did you want to share the tisane with me and dance?
Yeah.
And we do. Yeah. And I think that we have such a good fucking time. Like, this is a life day to remember. Like, we do just dance to the point where we probably need to eat 4 extra times tomorrow. And... kiss and are just like, it's really intimate, you know, like it's one of those times that it's not, there's not a goal, there's not like a PNV goal or like an end game, there's just like just fully dissolving into each other for this time.
There's a lot of him like gently stroking your face and like pushing back your hair from your forehead and like gently caressing down your cheek. There's a lot of like kissing your eyebrow and like kissing your ear, just all very like gentle and tender and attentive and like, you know, very, always very respectful and checking in to make sure you're okay with that. And yeah, I think at one point in the night, after you guys have been dancing for a while, Jaquel, you guys kind of break off together and are laughing and kind of just stopping for a rest. And he says, huh. I guess it came true.
What?
My wish.
And Delalia just cackles and then they just hold his hand and they keep dancing and having fun.
And I think that's where we leave you. The camera pans up to the sky and we see a beautiful full moon and it's a winter, a long winter's night, but you've got someone by your side to keep you warm. And as you guys are dancing together, Jaquel whispers in your ear, I am very thankful to have you in my life, Delalia. Thank you for tonight. You are beautiful.
Happy life day, Jaquel. I'm grateful for you.
And it fades to darkness as you guys share a gentle, tender kiss.
Oh my god, that was the most romantic life day I've ever experienced.
I love it. So, are you ready, Rebecca?
I think so.
Okay, good. All right. So, Felix, we find ourselves in the cozy hamlet of Wonder Trundle, more specifically in the cozy home of the St. Frumtravel family. A fire crackles happily in the hearth with a small iron pot over top. The smell of mulled wine and meat pies fills the air. The windows have fogged up, a reminder of the cool night air outside. Felix, you are 24, and this is a winter solstice from not so long ago. You see your mother, Tinkawa, busying herself in the kitchen as always. She removes a tray of fresh hand pies from the oven, setting them out to cool on the counter. As she does, she calls out to you, Felix Feck, will you hang the holly up over the front door? Wouldn't want Papa Holly passing us by now, would we?
Sure thing, Mom. And Felix goes and grabs the holly and starts heading outside.
Oh, and Felix, make sure you take your sister with you to the festival tonight. She's been cooped up in her room all day. I don't remember if this is how your mom sounds, but this is how she sounds in this memory.
Hey. Yeah, okay, Mom. And Felix goes outside and he's just kind of like, oh, I got to babysit now. That's great.
And you put the holly up on the over the front door, and you see off in the distance your father is standing with the goats, and he just kind of raises a hand and waves to you.
Felix waves back.
And then from inside, you hear a loud, like, crash-bang sound coming from Zimmer's room. Your sister, Zimmer. Zimmer! Felix Feck, go get your sister.
Felix takes off his shoes that have a little bit of snow on them and heads off to Zimmer's room. And he just kind of lightly raps on the door before cautiously opening it, just in case something comes flying at him, some new gadget or doodad. Zim, you all right?
As you enter Zimmer's room, Felix, you struggle to even get the door open. As usual, her room is a mess of clothes, books, parchment, and her various tinkerings. In fact, as you enter, you push aside some boxes of this and that, and Thistle, your sister's hedgehog familiar, rolls out of one of the boxes onto the floor.
Felix stops.
That's how Thistle sounds.
Felix scoop Thistle up. Just like, Zim, are you dead? And he's just kind of like peeking around boxes.
You hear the sound of gears whirring as you venture further into the room, and you see that Zimmer is hunched over her work table.
Zimmer, you really need to clean up in here. This is turning into a hazard.
I'm almost done, Felix. Just one moment.
And you see she's got her tinkering tools, and there's some whirring and some screeching and some spinning and a spark.
What on earth are you working on? What is that?
And she steps to the side and says, ta-da! And you see sitting on the table is what looks like a mixing bowl with a whisk inside it. But she has fashioned it so that the whisk is mixing around the bowl in an automated mixer type fashion. She says, do you think Mom will like it?
I think she'll love it as long as it doesn't, you know, blow up the entire kitchen like last year.
And you say that and like a little spark like just comes out of the mixer and Zimmer just like smacks it.
It'll be fine.
She'll love it then. I was getting ready to head into town to the festival. The chores are done. Do you want to tag along?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, this is great. There are some things that I really want to buy.
And Zimmer actually runs about the room and she grabs her coat and her hat and her gloves, which are all mismatched. Nothing matches whatsoever because she's just grabbing them from boxes and on the floor. And she grabs a little hat for Thistle and puts Thistle's little hat onto him.
And Felix just pops Thistle on top of her little hat, kind of like a little palm. And he's just like, all right, let's go. Leave the gadgets, please.
She sheepishly like picks some gadgets out of her pockets, like little bits and pieces of machinery, and puts them on her work table. And we cut to the festival. So Felix, we find ourselves now in the village square of Wonder Trundle. It is all aglow this long winter's night. As you walk through the village, Felix, you see sprigs of holly above nearly every door. Trees have been decorated with baubles, fabric flowers, and twinkling magical balls of soft yellow light. Musicians play their tunes and sing carols for all to enjoy. It seems that every gnome in Wonder Trundle is out tonight, enjoying the Winter Solstice Festival. You see various vendors have erected temporary stalls and are selling sweetbreads and candies, warm meads and milks, artwork, and, to Zimmer's pleasure, mechanical tinkerings. In fact, Zimmer gasps in excitement and points to a vendor selling tiny mechanical animals that walk about as if they are alive. And she says, oh, I want to go over there. And she just rushes over to the stall without another word.
Don't push people. Okay.
And Felix, as you're looking around the courtyard, across the way, you see another stall where they are selling warm, fresh milk. And behind the counter, under the safety of a lovely purple, high-quality fur-lined cloak, stands your friend, Miranita Dofficile. Her strawberry blonde hair has been pulled up into a lovely braided updo, and she is currently chatting with a customer as she pours him a drink. What do you do?
Felix, he kind of absentmindedly reaches into his pocket real quick, but to kind of make sure something's in there, and he kind of just straightens himself a bit and heads on over.
And as you head over, Felix, Mira looks up at Miranita. Yeah. Felix, as you walk over, Miranita looks up and catches your eye and smiles. And she raises her hand as if she's about to call out to you. But all of a sudden, at that moment, one of the... Actually, no, I won't do that yet. She raises her hand and waves to you.
Felix waves and heads over and kind of ducks under the awning. It's a little short, but and he says, happy Winter Festival, Myra.
Happy Winter Festival, Felix. Would you like some milk?
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Thank you.
And she hands you a warm mug of milk and she says, it's on the house.
Spoil me. Your mom's gonna get mad. No way to run a business.
I won't tell her if you won't.
Kind of zips his mouth shut.
Kind of leans against. She smiles and she.
He just kind of leans against the whole thing. Mm. He's just like, so. It's chilly out. Are you manning
Felix? Where's your coat?
And Felix just kind of looks down and he's like, I didn't realize. I was just kind of in a hurry. Zimmer wanted to see the festival, so I just, it's fine. It's not that cold out.
She shakes her head at you and you see her unclasp her fur-lined coat and take it off and offer it to you.
And you're going to freeze your butt off.
Okay, but then you're going to be cold. Myra, it's...
Well, then you'll just have to keep me warm.
Okay.
And she laughs at the embarrassed look on your face as your face turns red.
So are you going to be manning the stall all night? Or are you going to get a chance to enjoy the festival?
And a voice says, "Attention, attention, everyone. It is time to announce this year's Dawn Maiden."
And all of the gnomes around you give a cheer. And Myra says,
"Oh, well, I don't have to be here all night. Do you want to see who the Dawn Maiden is together?"
Yeah, absolutely. Let me try and find Zimmer real quick. And like Felix is kind of looking over the heads, trying to see if he can spot her at that stall she was at. Is she still there?
She's still there. You see she has both hands are facing palms up, and she's got two different little mechanical animals in her palms, and she seems to be trying to debate which one she's gonna get.
Felix heads over and he puts down the money for both of them, and he says, "Come on, let's go." "Just take them both, let's go."
"Okay."
And she does. And she quickly puts them in her pocket.
"Thank you.
Happy winter solstice."
"Well, that works out, because I was going to give this one to you."
And she opens her hand, and you see there's a little mechanical goat in her right hand. Like a little one.
"Aw, that's so sweet, Zimmer. I love it. What does it do?"
She twists a little key on the side of it, and it starts to walk around in her palm, going, "Bah, bah." Wait, that's a sheep. It goes, "Bah, bah." Just like,
oh,
the same,
"Bah, bah,"
over and over again.
"I love it, Zimmer. Thank you."
"You're welcome."
And she goes back to playing with her own, which is a tiny mechanical hedgehog. And you can see that thistle on her head looks very jealous. Very jealous. That's Twistle. That's Thistle's angry sound.
That is angry hedgehog for, "You better watch your back, mister."
I'm just going to say, from experience, angry hedgehog usually sounds like...
This is a fantasy hedgehog, Lydia. They all have really cute sounds that they make.
That's so funny. That hedgehog sounded like a queef.
And so you all gather in the town square, and you look up and you see that one of the town leaders is standing on the little makeshift stage at the center of town. And they say,
"Yes, yes, it is Wonder Trundle tradition to crown a Dawn Maiden on the night of the winter solstice. On this longest night of the year, we look to those who inspire us for hope and light to lead us through the darkness."
And the crowd applauds at that. And Felix, you can see a number of the women and girls in the crowd are whispering to one another excitedly. The leader on the stage continues,
"The Dawn Maiden is not selected for her beauty nor her charm, nor her social standing in the community, but by the merit of her actions and the kindness of her heart. Which is why it is my pleasure to have crowned this year's Dawn Maiden, Miss Myronita Dophicile."
And the crowd erupts into applause, whoops, hollers. A few of the other girls look sulky, but most everyone cheers with genuine enthusiasm as Myra is escorted onto the stage and a simple crown of holly is placed upon her head. She waves to the crowd, and specifically, Felix, she waves to you. And the town leader says,
Miss Dophicile has shown not only a dedication to her studies, but a dedication to helping those who are less fortunate in her community improve.
And his eyes fall on you, Felix. And in fact, everyone kind of around you is like sort of giving you a side eye now.
Oh, Felix is just kind of like, oh God, oh, okay. This is like a backhand compliment to me. Like, Felix is getting really, really red in the face, and he's kind of back, slowly like backing out of the crowd, just like, okay.
And the leader continues,
now, without further ado, Miss Dophicile, will you do the honors?
And Myra, Anita steps forward, and she gives you a reassuring smile, Felix, and she recites a poem which everyone in town is familiar with, as it is the procedure it is the tradition on the Winter Solstice Festival Eve. And she says,
on this longest night, we come together to remind ourselves in colder weather that no matter how great the darkness, the light will always guide us home, so long as we remember that we are not alone. May the shepherd watch over us this night, and may our celebration usher in the light.
And with a flourish, Myra sends a luminous ball of light into the air that soars up, up, up about 20 feet, and then explodes like a silent firework, raining down tiny silvery suns, moons, and stars.
Wow.
And the crowd is just exactly like that, Felix. Everyone is like, oh, look, wow, oh, so pretty. You see children dancing in the light shower, and a few couples give each other a kiss, and then you see Myra looking at you from the stage.
And he kind of waves at her from the kind of the back of the audience now. He's moved. he's giving her like the classic thumbs up.
And she's exiting the stage, Felix, and you can see that she is trying to make her way to you, but she just gets swarmed by a bunch of people who want to come up and congratulate her.
Felix's hand goes back to his pocket, and he kind of just lets it go again, and he just kind of takes Zimmer by the hand and says, come on, let's go check out some of the fun. Just kind of heads out.
Awesome! And Zimmer is just all about it. She wants to go get hot chocolate. She wants to go play the games. What sort of activities do you two do together?
Let's see. I imagine they have something kind of similar to like, what is it? What's that Missouri game where you throw beanbags into a hole?
Cornhole?
Cornhole! That's what it's called! Sorry, I thought that was it, but then I was like, that might be a naughty word.
Right? It feels like it should be.
So something kind of akin to cornhole, just you kind of your typical sort of festival homemade games and things like that. There's a like a little band playing music, and you know, they kind of go over there and just kind of have some fun, just kind of dancing around, just drinking some ciders and just enjoying the night with everyone.
Felix, why don't you I want you to roll athletics or dexterity for the game that you're playing, trying to throw this bean baggy, this little baggy of, let's say it's like a little stuffed, it's a little stuffed cabbage, like all of the little bean bags look like little vegetables, and you're throwing them into like holes that are like where you would put mouths. It's like you're throwing the vegetables into the mouths of the cows or something. Yes, that's what it is.
I'm going to do strength or dexterity.
Either. It's a bonus episode. 11. Okay, so your first throw, you get close, but it misses the hole. Do you want to try again?
Yeah. I think I'm going to do a strength one this time because he's going to try and really get it in there. If my character
And before
sheet
you
will
do,
load.
Felix, Uh-huh. And before you do, Felix, one of the boys close by is kind of like snickering at Felix, like, he can't get it in.
Yeah, he gives it a toss.
All right, and so then you get a 16. So the second time, hey! Felix, you give it a good throw, and you you get in one of the harder holes to get the beanbag in, like the second level hole. Do you want to try one more time? You get three. Yeah. I've just decided you get three throws for your coin that you have given this vendor.
Okay. Yeah, I got one more toss. I'm gonna do strength again because hey, that worked the first time.
After you got the beanbag in the second time, you hear some people cheering and you look over your shoulder and Myra is standing there with a group of girls and she's clapping for you and smiling.
Oh, that's a 14. It's a little up.
So with your final beanbag, you give it a good toss. You don't hit the hardest to reach hole, but you do get it in that second tier hole again. So they continue clapping and saying, yay, yay, good job, Felix, yay. And the vendor running the game reaches over and hands you a little prize. What do you think the prize is, Felix? It's just like a little prize, not like a big grand prize, but, you know, like a little like, hey, good job.
Right.
It's a cookie?
Yeah, you know what? It is it's an orange. It's a little fruit that doesn't really grow in the valley. So it's a pretty good prize.
A merry or happy winter solstice, kid.
Thanks.
And and Myra comes up to you, Felix, and she says, "Hey, good job, Felix."
Thanks. Thanks. It's an easy game. You want to split it?
Sure. Here, before we do, she reaches over and takes your hand, Felix, and sort of pulls you away from the crowd. And she says, can we maybe go somewhere a little less crowded? Everyone wants to talk to me because of the whole Dawn Maiden thing. But I'm kind of cold and I'd kind of just like to go somewhere where there's not so many people.
Yeah. Felix takes her hand and I think they head over to the tavern to head inside where it's warmer and a little quieter because everyone's out at the festival.
And so you guys go inside and it is warmer in here. There's a big fire roaring, in fact, and I think Myra goes over to that and she puts her hands out towards the flame and then she turns around and like puts her butt up against the flame and rubs her booty. Because she's cold.
Oh, that's so much better. Thank you, Felix.
Do you want your cloak back? And he like he takes it off and puts it over her shoulders. He's like, honestly, you kind of need that more than I do. I've got a little more insulation than you do.
Sure. Thanks. Hey, there is something I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah?
So it seems like you seem to think that just because it's the Winter Solstice Festival, that means you get out of doing your lesson today.
I mean, yeah.
No, Felix Beck.
You are a slave driver. You know that.
Me. Come here. And she pulls you over and you guys kind of sit down on the rug by the fire. There's some pillows, like it's been decked to look cute for the holiday. And she pulls you down by the fire and she says, okay, we're going to try this again. Now, cup your palms like this. And she takes your hands and she cups your palms for you as if you were holding water in your hands. And she says, just focus. Just try.
And Felix looks at his hands and he tries to imagine a little ball of light. And nothing happens. He's just, Myra, I'm never going to get this. I appreciate it, but you're kind of wasting your time.
Well, not with that attitude. Come on.
She's going to put her hands over your hands in that cupped position. And she leans in a little bit closer and she looks deep into your eyes, Felix. And she whispers in a gentle and coaxing way. You're thinking too hard, Felix. You're trying to push syrup through a pinhole. Think of a thread going through the eye of a needle. Pass the magic through the eye and let it glide through.
That's a beautiful metaphor, Myra, but I don't feel a needle or a thread. I just feel kind of stupid.
Oh, well, that's what I feel when I summon my magic.
She kind of huffs and plops her chin into her hand and her elbow on her knee. She's sitting cross-legged in front of you, and she says,
well, try thinking of something that makes you really happy. A memory or a place or a special person.
Felix, he kind of looks at her for a hot second and then closes his eyes and leans forward. And he doesn't kiss her, but he kind of just puts their foreheads together, and they just kind of sit there for a hot second, just being in the moment, savoring the moment, and he leans back and looks at her.
That happy flutter you get in your stomach?
And she's blushing pink, Felix. She says,
that's it. That's magic.
Felix, as she says that, you see that she kind of swirls her hand and a little ornament from a nearby decorated tree in the tavern flutters over to you, and she's taken what now you can see is like a butterfly ornament, and she's cast a little spell on it to make it fly around the two of you, and it's just a simple but beautiful little orange monarch butterfly ornament that's fluttering around between the two of you.
And he's kind of watching the butterfly, but as he's watching the butterfly, his eyes just kind of go back to her, just watching her cast this magic, and he feels that sort of magical flutter in his stomach and just kind of all over, and suddenly there's this little glow of magic coming out of his hands,
and I think Myra sees it before you do, Felix. Yes, and it's a little butterfly. She squeals and she says, oh, Felix, you did it. And she points, and you see, what do you see in front of you, Felix? Describe what it looks like.
It's a just like a little butterfly, but it's like its wings are fluttering like a real one, and it's just kind of dancing around in his hand. It's like, it looks exactly like the ornament though.
And she smiles, Felix, and she looks so proud. Her eyes are just like brimming, almost as if she's about to burst into tears. And
yeah,
she just reaches out and she wraps her arms around you, Felix, and she says, I knew you could do it, Felix. I knew it.
And while they're hugging, the butterfly in his hand, like he's looking into her eyes, and the little butterfly turns purple like her eyes. And just kind of starts flying around the room.
And I think as you both look up at the butterflies flying around you, you notice that there is a little sprig of mistletoe hanging above you guys.
And he leans in like 50% just in case.
And she leans in 50%, just in case.
And
I think you two share a quick a very sweet and warm kiss.
He quickly reaches in his pocket and he pulls out like a little hand carved ring.
Myra, you're my best friend and my world. Our friendship means more than anything to me. Ever since you've come into my life, I felt a light and a hope for the future that I never imagined I could feel. You inspire me to do the impossible. You're kind and patient, so clever, and you feel so strongly and passionately that I just couldn't help but fall in love with you. I know it's not much, and I don't have a lot of money right now, but I promise I'll find a way to get the money, and then we'll see the world. We'll travel to those incredible places in your books. We'll save villages, and slay dragons, and rescue princesses from towers. We'll write our own epic adventure. A story without an ending. I don't know what kind of adventure it'll be, but we have more than 300 years to find out together.
Oh, Felix, nothing would make me happier.
Will you put it on?
She like extends her hand. She says, my hands are still frozen.
Mine too. And he takes the ring and just puts it on her finger.
Happy winter solstice, Felix.
Happy winter solstice, Myra.
And I think she just cuddles up next to you, Felix. I think she just cuddles up next to you and kind of throws her cloak half over you, and you guys look at the warm fire. And you just have a nice little moment together. And I think that's where we leave you.
Yeah.
Aw, Rebecca.
I'm fine. So good.
Aww.
I'm just so happy that he got to, like, not just love her, but feel loved too.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I want to hug you guys
so much.
I want to hug you guys so bad.
I feel like I have a heart of stone because I'm not crying, but I feel it in my heart. It's very sweet.
Thank you, Emma.
Well, of course, girl. You're the one who created Felix and Myra. I'm happy to bring this moment to life.
I just like fucking love you guys, and I just want to put that out there, and I'm really grateful to have all of you in my life, and this has been a really beautiful night of storytelling, and I just wanted to, it's fine, I like you a lot.
It was so good.
We have to feel love, guys. We have to.
Absolutely.
We deserve that.
I love you, Kelsey, and Rebecca, and Lydia. So much.
You have to put our sniffles at the end of this one.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, give me notes if I need to like back up or like go forward.
I just have so many emotions right now.
Yeah.
I'll be back in a second. I must go to the potty break.
Okay.
When you come back, we're going to do yours.
It's your turn.
Your turn.
Hello, listeners. This is your DM, Emma Carter. I'd like to take a moment to thank you, the listener, for pressing play. If this podcast sparks joy in your life, consider joining our Patreon. Patrons have access to bonus audio content, work-in-progress sketches from Rebecca, first look at new artwork from Rebecca, merch, and more. You can check out our different tiers at patreon.com/spellpod. This is only the first piece of bonus content that our current patrons unlocked. We also have a remote movie night coming up, Rebecca is going to DM Cats and Catacombs for us, and Kelsey is going to live stream a one shot for us as well. We also have a non-legally binding wedding to plan for Lydia and her cat Yas. Our most recently unlocked goal was that if we hit a certain amount, we would host an online viewable wedding between Lydia and her cat. So that's something we're working on as well. For as little as $2 a month, you can help us sustain and grow the podcast. If supporting financially doesn't work for your budget, consider leaving an Apple review or sharing Spellbound on social media. You can follow us online at TheSpellPod. And if you tag us or hashtag TheSpellPod in your post, I'll put your name on my NPC naming list. So gently caress that share button if you too want to become a part of our fantastical Spellbound universe. Now, let's get back to our heroes. Princess Thea. Thea, you don't have very many memories of your mother. Mostly just vague impressions and the feeling deep in your heart that she was a good and wonderful person. However, you do have one specific memory that is more vivid than the others. And that is the memory of your last winter solstice together. Thea, you are 6 years old and it is the night of the winter solstice. You are currently riding a horse down from the castle into the village. The castle has been elaborately decorated and is full of light and color, and so is the village. There is a rather thick and fluffy snow falling in big flakes from the sky, but the citizens of Highgard have not been deterred. Down below, you see the light of the festival pyre growing closer and closer, and you can see and hear that there are already people dancing and singing around it. From your place atop the horse, you feel the comforting warmth of your mother behind you, and you look to your left and see your brother, Prince Dashing, riding with your father. Everyone has donned their finest garments for this evening. Dashing is wearing a velvet suit and cape with a little crown atop his head. Your father has been outfitted in a similar fashion. He sits tall, his face less sunken in, his eyes less dull. This is your most vivid memory of how he used to look. Quiet, but healthy and much more alive. Thea, what are you wearing this winter solstice eve?
I have a red velvet dress with white fur lining all of the edges, lining the hem. It's got buttons down the middle. And a cute little sort of Peter Pan collar. And stockings. Very thick stockings. And white boots.
And that is beautiful. That is perfect. I love that. Thea, as you ride with your mother, who is wearing something very similar, there's kind of like a matchy-matchy theme here where your mother has kind of like the more adult grown-up version of your outfit. Like instead of a Peter Pan collar, she has like a deep V, but it's also a very classy deep V. And as you are riding along down to the village, Thea, you can see that there's a slight nervousness in your brother's eyes as he looks up at the sky and he says,
"What if the snow puts out the fire?"
And your father replies, smiling a little bit,
"Don't worry. If the storm picks up, we'll go inside."
And Dashing looks somewhat relieved, but not entirely convinced. Thea, do you say or do anything?
"I don't want to go inside. I want to stay by the fire. It'll melt all the snowflakes and we'll be warm."
And your mother chuckles behind you, Thea, and she says, "That's right. That's right, Thea." And you continue down the hill. We jump forward and the festival has begun. Your mother kicked off the festival and now you are all watching the tail end of a children's winter solstice pageant similar to the one we saw at the Springtide Festival. And Thea, you will notice there is a younger Harlow acting out one of the parts of the deities in this winter solstice pageant, and they are clearly the most excited participant on the stage. The crowd applauds as they exit the stage, and then your mother stands and she looks down at you and she smiles and she whispers, "Wish me luck."
"Good luck, Mama."
When your mother ascends the stage, the crowd's cheering only intensifies. It is quite evident everybody loves her. As she makes her way to the stage, she holds up her hands to silence the cheers, and she says, "Thank you to all who've shared their talents this evening. Let us give one more round of applause for the students of the conservatory." And the crowd applauds for the students, and you see all the little kids bowing and curtsying, and some of them are bashful and of all ages. Some are teens, some seem like they're littler, maybe closer to your age. And then the queen says, Queen Jolfael says, "If you will indulge me, I would like to offer my gift this year in the form of a story. And I would like to invite the children to join me on the stage if they feel so inclined." And a number of children scramble to join your mother on stage, Thea, forming a semicircle around her. What do you do?
Do I get to go on stage, Daddy?
Yes, Thea, you can go up on stage. Dashing, do you want to go up with your sister?
And Dashing looks a little nervous. He's kind of holding onto your dad's leg.
"Oh, come on, don't be a curmudgeon. Mama's going to tell a story. Let's go."
"Where did you learn that word?"
And your mother smiles when she sees you, and she gestures for you two to come sit up right up front, kind of in the middle. And you take the center part of the semicircle right up front next to her. And the crowd grows silent, and it's still snowing right now, but the fire is so warm that, just like you said, it's keeping everybody warm in the winter snow. And she says, "Once upon a time, a lonely prince who was destined to be king was hunting with his brother in the woods when the two happened upon a unicorn drinking from a small pond. 'Shoot it,' whispered the brother, for he knew to do so would bring the prince great wealth and renown. The lonely prince raised his bow, hands shaking. He pulled back on the string and he let his arrow fly." And she pauses for dramatic effect. "It sunk into the pond, and as the ripples danced across the water, the unicorn galloped away, unharmed. The brother was displeased with the lonely prince. He ran ahead to try and track the unicorn himself. And the lonely prince sat by the pond and wept, not for having missed his target. He hadn't missed his target. The lonely prince wept tears of joy, for he had never seen a creature so pure in all his life. And high above him, another wept, for she had never seen a heart so kind and gentle in all her existence." And she pauses again, and I think all the kids go, "Oh." And Dashing seems to be into the story now, Thea, and he seems less concerned. He's really, like, hanging on your mom's every word. And she continues, "And so, high above, the wishing star, who watched over the land and answered the prayers of only the purest of heart, told the story of the lonely prince to the goddess Astraea." Harlow in the crowd of kids just like sits up super tall. And your mother laughs and says, "Yes, to the goddess Astraea. The mother goddess explained she already knew of this lonely prince, for the unicorn which he had spared was her very own companion." And the kids are like, "Oh, wow. And so she asked the wishing star how to best reward the lonely prince for his good deed. And the wishing star replied, 'Let me answer his prayer so that he will never be lonely again. Let me leave this place in the sky so that I may sit by his side. For in all my existence, I have never been so moved and felt such love.' And the goddess considered this.
It is not so often that a wishing star makes a wish of its own. But this star was a faithful servant to the mother, and of many centuries. So the goddess Astrea gifted her star with a mortal body. One mortal life. And so it was. The wishing star disappeared from the sky, and the lonely prince was lonely no more. And then the crowd just erupts into cheers. What do you do, Princess Thea?
I think Thea's just staring at her mom and wondering if she's the star.
I think your mom looks down at you and winks at you.
And Thea goes, her eyes are huge.
And just at that moment, Thea, a strong gust of wind whooshes through the village square, knocking people over, knocking drinks over, knocking some children from the stage, and the crowd cries out and waits a moment, expecting it to pass, but the wind kicks up even more, howling loudly. Decorations fall from the rooftops. Food and drinks are sent flying. The crowd begins to panic in their attempt to escape this wind, their vision clouded with large flakes of snow. And in the commotion, you hear your mother's voice, Thea, and she is saying, "Quickly, into the goddess's temple, into the temple." And you see your dad and your uncle, the Duke Roger, and the guards. They're all trying to herd people towards this large stone temple. But Thea, you see your brother. And he has his hands slapped over his ears and his eyes are screwed shut. And you see him run in the opposite direction of the temple. Behind you, your mother calls, "Thea, this way." And she reaches for your hand to guide you to the temple. What do you do?
She says, "But dashing." And she runs after him.
"Thea! Thea!" Your mom's cry of your name is muffled by the snow as you run towards where your brother went. Thea, can you make a, let's make a perception check or an investigation check.
Oh.
Oh no. It's a natural one, Thea. Well, you are six. Thea, you run after
what an
your
idiot.
Brother. Thea, you run after your brother. But you are only a six-year-old girl, and immediately you are blinded by the snow and completely turned around. You don't know where you're going. You don't know which direction is the temple or which direction is your brother. You are completely lost in the snow. What do you do?
I start to cry out. "Dashing? Mama? Daddy, where are you?"
And you hear people, shouts around you, and there are people rushing by you, but nobody seems to see you. And Thea, I think you get pushed and you fall to the ground. And you're laying there on the ground, and I think you start to cry because it's scary and it's cold and you're all alone. But then you look up, Thea, and you see underneath the stage somebody else is on the ground too. What do?
You crawl towards the person on the ground.
And as you crawl closer, you realize it's your brother, but he's curled up in a little ball under the stage.
"Dashing, we have to go to the temple." She's going to reach out and she's going to shake him by the arm.
I don't know where it is. I want my daddy.
"I know how to get there. Follow me." And she's going to take his hand and she's going to lead him resolutely toward the temple. Because she has an excellent sense of direction, unlike myself.
And Thea, you take Dashing's hand, and there's a moment where he's hesitant to follow you. Can you roll persuasion for me? He's scared. So you rolled a 9. He's hesitant. He's scared. He kind of resists you pulling against him, but you are able to drag him a couple feet out from under the stage, and he says,
"No, Thea, I don't know where to go."
Just follow me. Out. Mama and Daddy are in the temple. It's right over here. It'll be okay, Dashing. I'll protect you.
And he sniffles and he rubs his nose, which is all snotty because he's been crying. And he says,
"Okay."
And he kind of tries to wipe away his tears. And I think he holds your hand and like gets close to you so you guys can stay together for warmth.
And Thea, you are looking for this temple. Can you just roll a d20 for me?
What is up, guys?
You're six. That's what's up. Thea, you're trying to find the temple, but you keep getting turned around because there's a bunch of people who are rushing around you who haven't seemed to notice you. You do find that you are able to use the stage to travel back towards the temple because you know that the temple is on the opposite side of the stage. But the snow is just so thick and the wind is so strong that another gale comes whooshing at you both and it knocks you both down. And Thea, it's kind of scary. And Dashing says, "We're not gonna make it."
"We're gonna make it. It's right over there. We're still inside the kingdom, Dashing. Just maybe if we feel with our feet, we can find our way there. Just cover your eyes with your hands so you don't get snow in them. We'll find Mama and Daddy. I'm gonna keep pushing forward."
And you do, and that's a solid plan. You two cover your eyes to protect yourself from the snow, and you watch the ground, and you feel for the ground with your feet to feel where the stone of the street is. And Thea, as you're looking at the ground, after a moment or so, you notice there's a sort of a sparkly line on the ground, almost like a piece of sparkly thread.
"Dashing! Look it!"
She points.
"What is it?" "I don't know. Follow it. It might be Mama."
And you two follow this sparkly thread of light, and it leads you closer and closer, and finally you see up ahead of you the big looming temple of the goddess Astraea.
We made it!
And almost immediately both parents are there. "Dashing, Thea!"
"Dashing!"
Dad grabs Dashing, your mom grabs you, and they pick you up and hold you real tight, and they take you inside to the temple. And as you get inside, Thea, you see that the citizens of Highgard are all in here, and they've calmed themselves down. The temple is quite sturdy, and although the wind is still howling outside, there's no reason to fear the storm from inside this stone temple. And you see groups of people huddling together for warmth as priests and vendors pass out drinks and blankets. Your mother and father both look concerned, but they're so happy to have found you. They're hugging you very, very tight. And even your uncle, Duke Roger, is there, and he comes over and he gives you both a squeeze on the shoulder and says, "Well, thank goodness Dashing was able to get you back home."
"He was very, very brave."
And Dashing just nods, but he gives you a look, Thea, and you can tell, like, he's really thankful that you said that. And he says, "Yeah. And Thea was too." And your mother says, "You are both very brave, and we're very glad that you're safe."
"We followed the light."
And she smiles, and your dad looks a little curious, and she sort of gives him a look like, you know, like you can see that there's like a conversation happening between the two of them, and he nods. And she says, "Come on, let's all come over here and get warm." And your whole family kind of huddles up together under a big blanket up near the head of the temple. And it's a very beautiful temple, Thea. There are beautiful mosaics depicting the goddess and her various forms and some of the other gods in the pantheon. And it's very clean and very pristine. And there are multiple priests at this point tending to the citizens. And they are... some of them have started to play a gentle tune to sort of keep everybody calm. And your mother kind of takes you aside, Thea, and she says, "I'm very proud of you for getting your brother back safely."
"Thank you, Mama. I was scared that I lost you. What do I do if I lose you?"
"And I was scared that I lost you. But I knew that you were my very smart girl, and that you would find the light if only you just looked for it.
I'll always look.
And she smiles and hugs you really tight, Thea. And she says, actually, and she doesn't say anything. She just hugs you real tight for a moment. She hugs you tightly and cradles you and starts to hum. And then, a la Disney animated movie, she starts to sing a song to the tune that the priests are playing, and they kind of harmonize with her as she sings it. And everybody in the temple just stops and listens to this song. And even though everybody's listening, you get the distinct feeling that she's singing it just for you.
When darkness closes in and all the stars have left the sky, when nightmares chase good dreams away and wishing wells run dry, when all seems lost and hopeless, will you turn and run away? Or will you hold hope in your heart to light another day? Hope is a song that rings through the air. Hope is a memory, a promise, and a prayer. When you feel frightened, unsure, or all alone, dive deep and find inside yourself a power you've always known. Remember those who love you and feel the spark ignite. Where hope is found, fear holds no power. There is only truth and light.
Did the music. I wrote the lyrics and she did the music.
That was so special of you girls.
It is so beautiful. Oh my god. And I'm just like picturing that song going on while we're like cutting into everybody's different holiday memories.
And I think it's Fuck. Lydia's mom.
I know.
Fuck. Yep.
Oh yeah, Queen Jophiel. I always forget she has a fucking name.
Thank you for joining us for this very special bonus episode. We'll return to our regularly scheduled programming next time on Spellbound. King Ferdinand was once more voiced by our friend, Jordan Fox. Thank you, Jordan. Songs in this episode include Spellbound, Spellbound Part 2, Winter's Morning, and In Winter's Grasp by Vinswept of Bandcamp.com. Windswept, Kalimba Relaxation Music, Wish Background, Glitter Blast, Mana 2 Part 1, and At Rest and Evening Fall Harp by Kevin McLeod of incomptech.filmmusic.io. Hope, Truth, and Light, composed by Krista Poyman, lyrics and performance by Emma Carter, all other music by Alexander Nakarada of Serpent Sound Studios. All sound effects from Zapsplat.com. Until next time.
Back to my chaotic bi flirting. Oh my god, I can't handle this. I'm not good at this.
Your alignment is chaotic bi.
So accurate. So I like the cut of your sail. You have a friendly sail. Butt.
One time a guy told me I had the curvy furniture.
Yes, curvy furniture.
But I was like, okay.
Okay, I'm here for that.
All right.
If you felt empowered by it, then.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know if I actually like this deck the hall. Let's try
gay,
something
gay,
out.
Gay, 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 gay,
gay, gay. Can you turn it into a gay song? Were you saying gay, gay, gay?
No, gay. G-A-Y. Gay, gay, gay.
the
That's
gay.
That's what I said.
Let gay, 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 gay.
Our house had a gift exchange last night, and we called it our Queermas celebration.
Queermas!
Aww, I love that!
We have a Queermas tree.
Merry Queermas, everyone!
Merry Queermas.
Santa Queer will come and visit all of the little boys and girls and NBs in the world to bring them love and gifts and sexual empowerment.
Yay! Yes!